So it won't be a surprise that today is the fourth candle of Advent, and it's the candle of love. You've been brought into the lighting of the candle. The worship was all about love, and now you get the sermon about love. Advent is also about learning how to live differently because of what Jesus has done. Somebody says, the grace of God meets us where we are, but never leaves us there. And there were some words in the one song that spoke just about that, and I thought I must make a note of them, and then I didn't, and then I forgot them. But I don't know. You see, it's too late now. I'm winking at my worship leader wife, but we need to come to this place saying, Lord, what is it that I need to do in my life? If you just go away going, oh, lovely message, that's great, and I feel good. My ego, if you tell me, is good. But really, we want to meet the living God and not be the same afterwards. So that's my challenge. As we go to God's Word, be changed this morning and challenged by God's love. We sing about it. We write it on cards. We feel it in the moment. I don't know if you feel it in Christmas time. I do. But Jesus spoke about love in a different way. And one of the ways is in a parable that you will know quite well. And the parable even calls us to a place of action. So let's go to our scripture for this morning. It's Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This parable begins with two questions. The first question is, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And shortly after that, who is my neighbor? This is a question that's asked by an expert of the law. This would be somebody who knew the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah. He knew the customs and practices of the Jewish people. Yet he asks this question. The man's not asking how to love, but he's asking who deserves to be loved. That's the real question here. And then Jesus answers by telling this incredible parable. And this parable, I hope, challenges us all every time we hear it. So this man is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. This was a dangerous road to be on. It was a lonely road. He's attacked. He's beaten. He's stripped, left half dead. Then 3 people come down the road. First, a priest. He sees the man, passes by. Then a Levite, a religious leader of that time. He looks and passes by. Jesus chooses these 2 people very intentionally. They are not some random characters in this parable. They represent the religious people of Israel, the leaders of Israel. The priest and the Levite should know how to inherit eternal life. And who should be loved? They knew the first five books of the Bible, the law. They were involved in temple worship. They were involved in the law. They were publicly respected spiritual leaders of the time. If anybody was expected to look after this poor guy on the side of the road, it would be them. Their failure is meant to shock the listener. The listener's meant to go, wait a second. Why isn't that minister in Hillcrest doing... Why isn't the priest and Levite doing something? And Jesus is trying to say there's a difference in knowing God's law and living God's love. I just want to pause for a moment. Just let that sink in. Do we approach people in our society living God's love, or do we approach other people knowing God's law? The very question that prompts the parable comes from the law. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. These are both found in the Old Testament. Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he quotes Leviticus 19, 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. This is not something brand new that Jesus made up. It's something that they should have known, and he points it out. So there, passing by exposes the danger of head knowledge without heart action. The priest and the Levite in the story show how religion can become exclusive, how it can look inwards more than it looks outwards. If a person walks into this church and feels as though they don't belong, then we have fallen into the same trap of the priest and the Levite in the story. They see the wounded man but choose to avoid him rather than to show love. Jesus shows that it's possible to be close to things that are holy, but not have a holy heart. I wondered as well if there was, it's a lonely road, so nobody's seeing what this priest and Levite are doing. I wondered if there were people watching, if they would have responded differently. Quite possibly Jesus is pushing into the place of integrity in a person's life. Integrity is what we do when nobody's watching. And I wonder if he's trying to highlight that in these two people's lives. He's also setting the reader up. Priest, Levite. So when he drops the next name, everybody's like, hold on, Samaritan? What are you talking about? But there's this moment where we think the story's going in a certain way, or these religious leaders would have thought it's going in a certain way, and then suddenly Jesus says, here's a shocker, along comes a Samaritan. When he acts with compassion, there's this hugely stark comparison between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan. It's almost a moment where we have to ask the question, am I like the wounded man, or am I like the Samaritan, or am I uncomfortable like the priest or Levite? The tragedy of this story is not that bad people did bad things, but it's that good people decided, religious people, they did nothing. That's the tragedy. They passed by and didn't see the man. Or they saw him and chose not to stop and help him. They may have had their reasons, but the reasons weren't actually that important to Jesus. Love is not measured by our reasons, but rather by our responses. So then there is this Samaritan, the unexpected neighbor. This would have been a shocking moment in the story. What, Samaritan? They were outsiders. They were enemies. They were people to be avoided. He deliberately chooses a Samaritan in this parable to challenge what people thought, to highlight prejudice, and to redefine what love and being a good neighbor really means. Jews and Samaritans hadn't got on for a very, very long time. They disagreed over worship. They disagreed over race. They disagreed over religious practices. Many Jews regarded Samaritans as unclean. They didn't want to be anywhere near them. By making the Samaritan the hero, Jesus is shocking his listeners. We're not that shocked because it doesn't mean as much to us. Jesus is quietly asking, if someone you hate can show mercy, what does that say about your understanding of God? Jesus is helping the reader or the listener of this story to look afresh at the definition of neighbor. The parable is told in response to the question, who is my neighbor? He doesn't define the qualities of a neighbor, because that's what we often do. Who is a good neighbor? Or a good neighbor is somebody who takes a dish of food when somebody moves in next door. If the monkeys tear their black bag, you go and wrap it up. That's a good neighbor. He doesn't do that. Rather, he shows what it means to be a neighbor. The Samaritan doesn't ask, should I or shouldn't I help? He asks, what does love require of me? What would love want me to do? Priest and the Levite see the man, walk right past. They are religious without compassion. Samaritan is nothing like this. He has compassion. He helps. The Samaritan shows that love crosses some boundaries. The Samaritan crosses ethnic boundaries, religious boundaries, social boundaries, the boundaries of personal risk and financial cost. I wondered to myself, what would the Samaritan be if Jesus told the story today? Who would the Samaritan be? Maybe it's somebody that we view with suspicion or contempt. Maybe it's, if you're living in a certain country, maybe South Africa, maybe it would be the immigrant or the refugee. Maybe it would be somebody of another faith. Maybe it would be a person with a different political viewpoint. Maybe it would be a former criminal or a former addict. Today, the Samaritan may be a person not in church who quietly serves the poor while church members debate what the Word of God says. Is that theologically true and correct? Instead of just getting on and doing it. Maybe the Samaritan could be a young person caring for elderly people in a time when elderly people, are almost set aside. Maybe it's someone with little power or money who still gives generously. The Samaritan might be a taxi driver stopping to help an injured stranger. Maybe it's a taxi driver just saying, you go ahead of me. Maybe it's a healthcare worker treating patients who insult or reject them because of what they look like or because of what they believe. Maybe it's a person caring for someone else with an illness that comes with a label. Today, the Samaritan is the person we expect the least of, but who still shows love. Shows love in the most possible way. The Samaritan is the one we cross the road to avoid until they are the one who stops to help us. I don't know if anybody noticed that there were a whole lot of presents under the Christmas tree this morning. Anybody notice that? Ah, there you go. So on Tuesday, I was asked to go and officiate at a wedding. Tuesday, you'll remember, is that slightly warmer day. Reports have 38 degrees. And I will be very honest, I did not feel like going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to perform a wedding ceremony. I went along, I got to the venue, saw where we were going to be, tried to find a spot under the pagoda where there was a bit of shade before the service started. I don't know if I succeeded or not. And while I was waiting, one of the guests came to me and said, where do we put the gifts? So I said, I saw a table just inside the room there. It was at somebody's house, and there's gifts on it. And while I'm thinking that, I'm like, it's kind of weird that people would wrap gifts for a wedding in Christmas paper. Thought nothing of it. The groom, speaking to me, says, oh, Brian, by the way, don't leave straight after the service. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a Coke for sure. With ice. I'm not going to leave. But he says, please stay for the speeches. I'm like, yeah, no problem. That'll be great. During his speech, he says, let me just step back a moment. When I met with them to arrange the wedding, he said, will you do a wedding on the 16th? I jokingly say, that's my birthday. And the context of that is that my mom, so my birthday's on Wednesday. In case you don't know, because you guys are visiting. Okay, Wednesday, the 24th. But my mom, bless her, used to celebrate my birthday on the 16th so that I would get two presents. And none of my friends had yet gone to Durban, because we stayed in Joburg. They hadn't yet rushed to the sea, so I could have a party. Nobody's having a party for my birthday on the 24th. But on the 16th, it happened. So I jokingly say, my birthday's on the 16th. And they're like, really? I said, no, I'm just kidding. This, da, da, da. During the speech, the groom stands up and says, happy birthday, Brian. He says, I know it's not your real birthday. It's your unofficial birthday today. And we asked our guests to bring gifts that your church can give out. And so on these gifts, there's things. It's like, I hope I picked up one that says, this one's a mystery one. Oh, here we go. Girl, 3 years plus, Merry Christmas. And so I was speechless that the people that I'd met once, twice maybe, had decided to do that. They were an older couple. They'd been married before. She was divorced. He was a widow. They didn't need stuff. But to think about other people at that time, to me, was a Samaritan moment. Can I be very honest? I was totally blown away. All of these fill up our whole trolley. It was so cool coming on Wednesday to the church and saying to Brian and to Jade, you wouldn't believe what happened yesterday. And I was just so excited to share this. But, you know, as much as we're digging into love, for me, that was love. That they had the thought of, let us bless some people we don't even know. And all of the guests kind of got on board. Because there's a whole lot of those presents that are wrapped in the same kind of paper with the same handwriting. So it wasn't just one gift per person either. Some people just loved the idea. Jesus says in the story, when he saw him, he took pity on him. This is when the Samaritan sees the man lying in the road. He took pity on him. Love begins when we see. When we see what is happening. We stop, we bandage the wounds, we lift the man onto the donkey, we take him to the inn, we pay for his care, we promise to return. Love like this costs something. What love really looks like is, which of these three was a neighbor? Jesus asks. Which of these three was a neighbor? Well, the poor religious leader, he was like in a corner. Checkmate. He doesn't say, who is my neighbor? But rather, who acted like a neighbor? Love in the kingdom of God is about crossing the road. Love for the disciple of Christ is not comfortable, easy love. Love for us is sometimes a challenge. So as we light the candle of love, we remember that God's love crossed a far greater distance. He came from heaven to earth, from glory to a manger, from holiness into our broken world. Love, grace, mercy nailed him to a cross. Jesus is the true Good Samaritan. He sees us in our brokenness. He comes to us. He binds our wounds. He carries us to safety. He pays the cost, and he promises he will return. This is Advent love. This week, love may look very ordinary. It might be stopping when it's easier just to pass by. It might be listening instead of avoiding. It might be helping someone who is inconvenient. It might be loving somebody who's different. Love's not always grand. Sometimes it's just choosing to cross the road. As we wait for Christ's coming, may the light of his Advent candle remind us Love is not something that we just celebrate, but it's really something that we need to practice. And then I started by saying, we are challenged when we meet Jesus Christ and his word. He ends with the words, go and do likewise. Amen.